Hello, podcast listener. This is Thomas Tadlock. I have a very quick announcement about this episode. Our special guest, there was a noticeable hiss in the audio recording, and it was unavoidable. We tried everything we could to get rid of it, and the best we've been able to do is just reduce it. So there still is a noticeable hiss. I just want to say, please forgive us for the inconvenience this may cause you. Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to get more muscular, more lean, and more healthy faster at any age on a 100% plant-based diet. We are talking with the beautiful, magnificent Simone Collins all the way from Australia. I'm sitting here in Austin, Texas. She's in Australia, and we're here together giving you some of the best nutrition and training knowledge that we possibly can. This woman, Simone Collins, is the winner of the 2014 Victorian State titles. She's also the winner of the 2013 International Transformation of the Year on bodybuilding.com. She's also been featured in Robert Cheek's book, Shred It, as well as being featured on Definition for Ladies, Vegan Lifestyle Magazine. She's also part of the Team Evolved and the Plant Built team, and she's a featured athlete on veganbodybuilding.com. In the previous episode, we just got to know a little bit about Simone, why she decided to go vegan. So if you want to listen to that, just patch into the last episode, and it's all right there. In this episode today, Simone is going to lay out for us her entire eating strategy, what she eats meal by meal to create this award-winning physique. So without further ado, let's bring back on the line Simone Collins.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Well, it's good to have you again. Thanks for being here. So let's talk about your nutrition strategy, your diet. I want to learn more about that. Can you tell us what your day-by-day eating looks like?
It can vary a little bit depending on how close I am to a comp. So outside of a comp, I try and get as much calories in as I can from whole foods and try and limit my processed foods, although I do allow for occasional treats and things, like maybe once a week a cheat meal or that kind of thing. But I really do try and just focus on whole foods for the majority of the time. And coming out from a comp, I like to try and work my calories back up to about 3,000 a day.
Whoa, you need 3,000 calories a day before your competition.
That takes a little bit of work. So probably only about 2,000 to 2,500 at the moment. I'm still working myself back up, but I did manage to hit those numbers between my comps last year. So,
holy smokes, and you're able to stay that lean too. I mean, to get even leaner as you increase your calories?
Yeah, if you do it really slowly, so obviously through a comp, my calories are a fair bit lower prepping for a comp. I probably stick around the 1500 mark for a comp. And that obviously means that your metabolism's going to drop right down. And, you know, if you go straight from eating that amount of calories straight back into what you're used to for building muscle, then, you know, you're just going to, you're going to store a lot of fat, like no matter what you eat. So I really do try and work that up really slowly. So if I have enough time between comps to work that back up to 3,000, and obviously, like, I train really hard, so I'm using a lot of those calories in my training and rebuilding my muscles. So that's my goal figure, is the 3,000. But at the moment, probably only around 2,000 to 2,500.
How tall are you, Simone?
I'm 170 centimeters. I think that's about 5'6" or 5'7".
You're 170 centimeters. Okay, let me see if I can convert that. Converted into feet. I'm doing this online on Google. All right, let's see what that... Oh, shoot. All right, so 170 centimeters. Let me find a convert. Okay, so that's approximately 5.5 feet.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Does that right? You're 5.5 feet tall.
I think
almost
so.
almost 5'6".
Yeah, that sounds right.
All right, so that's 5'6", and you're about 128 pounds, and you're lean as all heck, and you're super, super muscular. That's so cool, because you know how much, you know what good news that is for so many women that struggle to lose weight, and their biggest fear is if they want to lose more fat or more weight, they're going to have to drop the calories. And most of them drop it to below 1,200 calories a day. And here you are eating 3,000 calories, and you're able to maintain that incredibly lean figure. That's really good news for women.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the problems that women have really do stem from just not eating enough. And I know because I've been there, like I've been on the other side. So, you know, I've been scared to eat, too scared to eat for a couple of years. And now, you know, being comfortable with that amount of calories and knowing that my body knows how to handle it now. But I do get a lot of women saying, you know, I want to build muscle, and but I need to lose a bit of fat, and I'm eating 1,200 calories. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. Like, I wouldn't even eat that in a comp prep. You know, I wouldn't even drop that low for comp. And I think, you know, dropping your calories too low for too long is a really big mistake for a lot of women. And not to go from such a low calorie to a high calorie diet, I think that's a mistake as well. But just really trying to work the calories back up slowly. And, you know, if you're feeding your body more energy, you're going to burn more energy, you'll feel better. And, you know, once your metabolism really kicks in, your body's just going to burn up those calories like nothing. But if you're constantly keeping your calories really low, your metabolism is going to drop off and want to store every spare calorie that you have. And, you know, you just won't have the same energy in the gym, and you won't be able to train as hard and build as much muscle. And obviously when you have more muscle as well, that also increases your metabolism, because it actually takes up a lot of energy just maintaining that muscle. So being able to train hard and build muscle is a real key to even not just muscle building, but maintaining a healthy lean weight.
So when you go from 1,500 calories to 3,000, how much time do you give yourself to transition up to that?
Probably anywhere between 3 to 6 months. Probably 6 months to get right up to the 3,000.
Wow, so you're just... What are you doing? Just adding about 100 calories a day up to that point?
I don't really measure it as such. I kind of just I'm really in tune with my body, so I find that, you know, when I finish a comp, I've kind of adjusted to a lower level of calories, and I don't feel that hungry. But then once I start, you know, really amping up the training again, and just, you know, getting used to eating a little bit more again, I find that my hunger levels really rise, and at times where I wouldn't feel hungry, I start to get, you know, ravenous all the time. So I know that that's my body saying, you know, we can increase now. And it's usually I'll sort of either increase a meal or add another meal, just depending on how I'm feeling. So I like to eat a lot, but I don't like to feel full. So I do end up eating like every couple of hours generally. Every 2 to 3 hours I'll have something to eat rather than having a really big meal. And that's just my personal preference. Like, I just really don't like that feeling of being super full. And when you're trying to eat that many calories, it can get hard. So yeah, that's how I like to do it.
Yeah, I'm completely opposite. I love the feeling of being super full. It's the only way that shuts my brain off about thinking about food. I don't know. Yeah. Ever since I went vegan, I look forward to every meal so much, because we're typically going out to eat, or my wife is making something amazing. So I know I the next meal is going to be awesome, and I just get so excited. And I look forward to it. And then the only thing that stops me from obsessing about that is being so full that it's painful. But that's just me. So that's cool that you've got that ability to be okay eating until you're satisfied. I wish I had that. I don't, but I work with it. I work with what I have. So I want to know a little bit more about your strategy. So you mentioned 1,500 calories, and then you mentioned 3,000 calories, and you said you do both for comp. So when do you do one versus the other?
Well, the high calorie would be sort of in between competitions. So at the moment, I'm having quite a big break for me. Like, since I started, I've been competing pretty consistently, which is okay if you're doing it healthily, but I started to notice that coming into the comps, it was getting a little bit harder to get as lean as the last time. Like, I needed more work, more cardio. So after my last comp when I won, and I'd sort of I'd achieved that sort of the first initial goal of winning a comp, and I thought, okay, you know, I love competing and it's always going to be my thing, but my metabolism needs a little bit of work here now, because obviously it has dropped off a fair bit from when I started. So I'm giving myself a good 6 months off, which probably isn't really that long. Some people take a year or two, but I really wanted to compete this year, next year with Plant Build in Texas. So that's going to be my next comp. And then after that, I might have a look at maybe having a good year off before I compete again, but we'll see. I'll just sort of play it by ear and see how my body's responding. But the higher calorie area would be like, any, you know, probably around, I'll stop that around 12 weeks out from a comp. And again, it's a gradual thing coming back down as well. I don't just sort of instantly drop from, I don't instantly halve my calories going into a comp. So I'll sort of work that down as well, like try and keep in as many calories as I can while still progressing. So I don't believe in just instantly into, you know, 1500 calorie comp prep. I think the more results you can get with the less work, the better for your body in terms of dropping your calories.
All right, so 12 weeks out, and then you'll drop it down to 1,500?
Well, gradually.
Gradually, yep.
Yeah.
And then how long will you stay at 1,200 or 1,500?
Probably for at least 2 weeks after the comp, try and maintain roughly my comp diet with a few little extras thrown in. And then within about a month after the comp, I'm back up to at least 2,000. And at the moment, I said about...
At what point do you hit 1,500? Are you trying to hit 1,500 on the day of the comp or a couple of weeks before that?
I'm probably not aiming to hit that. If anything, I'm trying to stay above that. But if I need to, I'll drop down to that. And it's usually around like, you know, maybe about 8 weeks out or eight to 5 weeks out is when I really start to hone it in.
Okay, cool. So then let's get into what each of your meals look like. So you wake up in the morning. First thing you eat or drink, what is it?
Well, I have a staple breakfast. It's been my staple breakfast for years and I just love it. And it's pretty boring and basic, but it's just, I just couldn't imagine eating anything else in the morning. So I love to have about a cup of oats and a cup of probably either chia seeds or flax seeds or even oat bran as well or wheat bran. Just something else to kind of fill it a bit with, you know, add a bit more fiber and filling. And I'll have that with a scoop of protein mixed in and just some berries. And, you know, if there's anything else I have on hand, like some maple syrup or something for on top, that's awesome. But, yeah, but it's basically just the oats, protein and berries, and I've been eating that for about 5 years.
Wait, let me make sure I got this right. You said one cup of oats?
Yeah.
Is this one cup of dry oats?
Yeah.
So that's a lot of oats.
It is, yeah.
That's a huge bowl of oats. And then a full cup of chia seeds?
Yeah. And so during comp prep, I would probably cut that down a little bit. But yeah, I try and go for that.
That's a massive amount. And then a scoop of protein. What's your favorite protein?
I'm using Prana Organic Nutrition at the moment. It's an Australian brand we've got here, made by Billy Simmons. He's actually a vegan bodybuilder as well. And he won Mr. Universe in, I think it was 2011 with the IMBA. So he's a pretty awesome dude. He's made his own brand of protein powders and greens, and he's coming out with a few more products soon. So that stuff's really good. Like, it's all raw, organic and natural, and soy-free as well. Like, it's a pea and rice blend with some digestive enzymes and a few other things. But, yeah, it's a...
Now, really, do you cook your oats?
Yes, I do. I just find that I digest them better. Especially eating that much of them first thing in the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, so you boil up a cup of oats and then you throw in a cup of chia seeds and then your protein...
Sorry, not a cup, probably a tablespoon or so of chia seeds or flax meal.
Oh, a tablespoon, okay.
Yeah, so not that much, but yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. So then what's next? Or do you drink anything along with that?
No, well, I usually have maybe a glass of water beforehand, and then I have such a big meal because probably about an hour or so after that I go and train first thing in the morning. So that's why I really need that sort of fuel first thing in the morning. Plus, I just I'm a morning person as well. I'm always up early and I'm always hungry when I wake up. So I always need a really big meal first thing in the morning and head off to the gym. And then my next meal after that's, it's usually only just a protein shake. But I like to do this thing where I get the protein and sort of add the water really slowly. And anything with like a pea protein in it will go a bit thick and moussey. So just mix it all up and make like a really awesome chocolate mousse. So that I have that after my workout. And depending on, what kind of workout I've done, I might have some carbs as well. But it's generally just the protein I have after a workout.
And do you do any supplements at this point besides the protein powder?
I supplement a bit when I'm in comp prep. So the 12 weeks leading up to my comp, I do like to just to cover all my bases, I'll do like a BCAA while I'm training. And I'll do L-carnitine. I get the vegan ones, of course. You've got to make sure that they're vegan. The only thing is they often put in gelatin capsules, which obviously isn't vegan or vegetarian. Right. So I always look out for that. And just it's also good to double check too with the manufacturers, because I found out a while ago that a lot of BCAAs are actually made from things like duck feathers and really gross stuff like that. So
what kind of branched chain amino acids do you like to take?
Well, I just go for the plain ones. I try and avoid like artificial coloring or flavoring.
No, I mean, what's the brand and company that you like to use?
I've been using MRM. They've got their amino acids are vegan, and they also only use natural flavoring and coloring. Because obviously, like, it's probably better to use it without the flavoring and coloring, but it doesn't really taste the best. So it's good to find one.
What about the L-carnitine? What company brand do you like to use?
I can't remember which one I got last time. I can't remember the brand.
Sorry, but whatever's on sale.
Yeah. Just that's a lot easier. Like, as long as the capsules are, I think that it's normally vegetable cellulose or something along those lines. As long as it's just not gelatin, it's usually okay.
As long as it's 100% vegan, sure. Yeah. All right, cool. So you train, and then you have your protein shake afterwards for meal two. And what's next?
Then it's usually lunchtime. So, again, like, if I'm not in comp prep, I'm pretty relaxed with my eating, and I like to just eat a huge variety of foods, a lot of variety of whole foods. And I love being able to just eat and not think about macros and
so what did you have for lunch yesterday?
For lunch, I went and got some rice paper rolls from a little restaurant just down from work. So I had three of those, and that wasn't quite enough. So about an hour later...
Rice paper rolls? What's that?
It's like... I don't know if you've seen it. It's an Asian dish, and they make these little. They almost look like really fine tortillas, and they'll put like tofu and vegetables and rice noodles inside them and wrap them up.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, so an Asian dish.
Oh, they're like they remind me. It sounds kind of like Vietnamese spring rolls.
Yeah, a little bit like that, but they're not like deep fried or anything like that. They're nice and fresh and healthy, so they're really great. So I had three of those, and that wasn't quite enough, so I ended up going back, just went to the supermarket and brought a pack of rice and a tin of lentils and mixed it up and ate that as well, because I was a bit hungry yesterday.
Rice plus lentils. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, not exactly interesting, but nutritious, I guess, high protein. But if I'm in a comp prep, I play around with my carbs in comp prep. So I like to carb cycle, which is what I did for my last comp prep. And that worked pretty well for me. But at the moment I'm finding that I'm doing a lot better higher carb most of the time. I just felt like on my high carb days that my digestion was a lot better, and I felt leaner, on my high carb days and more energetic. So I thought, I don't want to mess with my plan in my comp prep. So maybe after the comp prep, I'll see how I go with higher carbs. So I've been doing that, and that's been working really well for me. And I guess because I've always had a bit of a carb phobia, going into comps and being around people who are eating chicken and broccoli and, having a little bit of a carb phobia probably in the early days of my training. And it's been a while for me to get over that. And I think the carb cycling helped me initially and also like kept my energy levels up and helped me maintain muscle. But I think when I saw how well my body was going with more carbs, I finally got over that, which is good. But what I did for the comp with my carb cycling, which still worked pretty well for me.
But you're not doing it anymore?
Not at the moment, no.
What you're saying is you don't even bother. So you're not going to carb cycle for this next one.
I'll see how I go. I'll just see how it all pans out. Really, if I feel like I need to, I'll do it. But I'm feeling pretty good doing what I'm doing at the moment, which is just keeping daily carbs in. But yeah, when I did the carb cycling, I'd have like a couple of low carb days and then a high carb day. So my lunch on a low carb day would probably be like some tofu and tempeh, lightly fried in coconut oil or even steamed, and just a huge mix of veggies. So cauliflower, broccoli, asparagus, maybe some salad as well with some spinach and tomato. And then just sort of really cutting back on the added stuff that, you know, you don't always think about, like sauces and things can really add to your calorie count. So I tend to love having some kind of flavor on my food. So it might be like a little bit of a dash of soy sauce or some Himalayan salt, and obviously like herbs and spices, and apple cider vinegar is a good one as well. But just try and stick to like the really low calorie dressings and stuff like that. Just so I'm not adding too much to my meal and I can focus more on like the protein content and all that sort of stuff. And then on like a high carb meal, I'd add in like some potatoes or have some beans and rice and all that kind of stuff. So, but at the moment, like because I'm not prepping for a comp, I do like to be a lot more relaxed and lenient with my eating and just really focusing on healthy whole foods most of the time and just being able to relax about it too, like not... especially coming from a background of eating disorders, it's really important for me not to get too obsessive about my diet all the time. And you can get a little bit like that with comp prep. So it's good to give yourself a break as well from the constant measuring and tracking. So I just, try and focus on mostly whole foods.
All right, cool. So once you finish your lunch, what do you eat after that?
About 2 to 3 hours after that, I might have either some nuts or... if I'm not very hungry, I'll just have another protein shake. Some nuts or some more tofu and vegetables. Like a copy of lunch. If I'm hungry, I might have another lunch type meal. If I'm not so hungry, it might be some nuts or protein or even some fruit, berries or dried fruit or dates. Dates are probably my all-time favorite food. So, just depending on my hunger levels, like, depend on the meal size.
Well, you named off such a drastic variety of foods, going from nuts, which is primarily a fat source, to tofu, which is primarily a protein source, to veggies, which is primarily a carbohydrate source, to dates, which is primarily a simple sugar source. So are you just eating based on whatever you feel like at the time, or
at the moment,
you have a rationale behind what you're choosing?
At the moment, I'm pretty much just eating what I want to, just as long as, the majority of the time it's just a food in its natural form. But I do, on comp prep, I do track it a little bit better than that. So if I was, say, in comp prep, I would probably only go for the nuts or the protein powder, just keeping, if I'm in a low-carb phase, keeping my carbs lower. If I'm on a high-carb day, that's when I might have the fruits or... even like protein powder with some fruit or some potato or another meal similar to lunch, but maybe a bit smaller. So it really just depends.
Cool. Well, it was important for me to help clarify that with you, because I know what some listeners are thinking. They're going to be like, oh, I can eat all the dates that I want after lunch and look just like Simone. Sweet. I'm going to go get 10 pounds of dates and eat nothing but dates.
Yeah, I love dates, but I don't eat them daily. I would probably have dates if I'm going to... I've just started CrossFit at the moment as well, so I am finding that I'm needing a lot more energy for that. And if I'm training after work, I really need to get some carbs in the afternoon, which is not something I used to I used to do all that much. But yeah, that's when I might have like the dates or the simpler sugars to give me kind of a boost before I start training in the afternoon. But yeah, like I said, it really depends. In my comp prep, I'm a bit, well, the last comp prep I did the carb cycling, so it really just depends on whether I'm going for a lower carb meal or a higher carb meal at that point in the day. And generally, it is a lower carb meal in my comp prep.
What kind of nuts did you like? What are your favorite nuts that you like to eat?
My all-time favorite nuts are Brazil nuts, and then after that, probably walnuts. And I love macadamias and cashews. And I think it's like it's a trendy thing in bodybuilding to like almonds, but I'm not really a massive almond fan.
Do you do those nuts raw or do you like them roasted?
I love them roasted. Yeah, I love them roasted. But I'll eat them raw if they're raw. I'm not really fussed.
Love the way they taste when they're roasted. Awesome. And then after that, I guess it's what, dinner time?
Yeah, well, if I've trained in the afternoon, I'll have another protein shake post-workout.
So you train twice a day?
I do in comp prep. I usually do my cardio in the afternoon in my comp prep, just because a lot of people try and do like faster cardio in the morning and it's just not for me. Like I said, I'm a morning person and I'm always really hungry in the morning. So I tend to just, I've got a lot of energy in the morning too. So in my comp prep, that's when I'll do like my heavy weights and like my really intense training for muscle building and just to maintain my muscle as well, because that's when I have the most energy. So that's what works for me. And then in the afternoon, I'll go into my cardio. So I don't really do that fasted. I probably won't have anything to eat probably a couple of hours beforehand. But, yeah, I'll definitely have something after that.
All right, cool. So you train in the morning after your first meal. And then you'll also train, do your cardio after your fourth meal in the afternoon.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So then right after your training, your second training session, what do you eat?
Well, I'll probably have just a protein shake to begin with and head home. And then once I'm home, I'll have dinner. And that in comp prep, that's usually a copy of lunch. So whether I've had like a lower carb meal with the tofu and vegetables, and probably I try and keep my fats up if I'm low carb, because we do need an energy source other than protein. And my body's actually quite adaptive to fat. I think everyone's different, so different things work for different people. Like I know I've seen people where high carb has worked really well for them. I'm actually yet to try that, so that's what I'm sort of trying out now. But I've always kept my fats up if I'm low carb, because it does give you an extra energy source. And if I don't do that, I just find it crash and burn so fast, especially with all my training and everything. So I keep my fats up as well. So I might add in some nuts to that meal as well, or even like some flax oil on the salad, or just something to boost it up a little bit. But yeah, if it's low carb, it's usually tofu or tempeh, because they're a lower carb protein source. Same with like hemp seeds and chia seeds can give you a bit of a protein boost and a fat boost without adding too many carbs to the meal. And then if it's a higher carb day, I definitely be adding in like the rice or the beans or the potatoes. I probably don't have fruit later in the evening. Just try and keep everything sort of lower GI, so I'm not sort of spiking my insulin and then going to bed, which, you know, doesn't really help anyone out in terms of trying to like burn off fat, especially when you don't have a lot of fat. Like I don't have a lot of fat, so it's actually quite hard for me to get to that final stage, because my body doesn't want to let go of that little bit that it's got. So it does take a lot of work, even though there's not a lot of work for me to do. I do need to be careful about things like that.
And then do you have anything to eat after that meal?
If I'm still feeling a little bit peckish, I might have another protein mousse. But for my last comp, I still had protein shakes, but I found a lot of the time I was relying on protein powders to get my protein, you know, to a certain point, which I thought was appropriate for a comp. And in the last comp prep I did, I focused more on eating foods. So I still had the protein powder in there post-workouts and with my oats, but I really tried to cut back on that a lot this time, and I feel like eating foods maybe gave me more of a thermogenic effect, or I'm not really sure, but I felt a little bit better for it. So if I'm not having a protein shake before bed and I'm still hungry, I might grab a few nuts or something like that. But yeah, it's usually the protein powder. If I haven't had that in the afternoon as well, if I've had like the nuts or, you know, the fruit or something else in the afternoon, I might have the protein powder before bed.
So this protein mousse sounds fascinating to me. First of all, what flavor do you like to use?
At the moment, I'm normally a chocolate person, but I'm absolutely in love with the vanilla flavor from Prana, and the coconut flavor that they have now is unreal. And it's probably been a good 2 years since I've actually drunk a protein shake. I'm just so obsessed with this mousse that I just don't see the point in drinking my protein anymore.
So how do you make this mousse? So it's you started describing it a little earlier. You put a little bit of water in. So how do you make this mousse?
It's a fine art. I've developed it for a while.
It's a fine art. Okay.
It's really hard to, I mean, so it's really easy to kind of overdo the water, and then you have to add more protein and get the right consistency. So basically I'll just sort of run it under a tap and just really gradually add the water and keep mixing it, because it's really hard to tell until you start mixing.
So you got a scoop of this, you got one scoop of this in a protein shaker bottle, right?
Yeah. Okay. Or in a, I find it easier in like a small tub, like a yogurt tub or something. Well, obviously not yogurt tub, but you know, something that you would put yogurt in, like a small Tupperware container.
Okay, so you've got this Tupperware container, you got a scoop of it in there, and you're running a little bit of water from a tap into it.
Yep, and then mixing it in as I'm going.
With one spoon?
Yes, a spoon. And then it'll start to absorb the water, and then you'll be able to see the consistency sort of forming, and then once it hits the right consistency that you want, you stop.
Interesting. I did something like that. Yolanda Presswood, I did an interview with her, and then I texted her afterwards, because she makes this thing with plant fusion, chocolate protein, and it's a chia protein, and she calls it a mousse, same thing. And she mixes in a whole bunch of peanut butter as well. But that's the idea. I think she uses almond milk instead of water. And she just, you pour just a little bit of almond milk in, and you just whip it up, you spin the spoon around, you mix it in, trying to basically capture anything that still looks powdery. And it forms this thick, it's like the thickest whipped cream mousse consistency possible.
It's very similar to that.
Yeah, it's not bad. And the only problem is, though, I guess it really depends on how good the protein powder is. So this Prana stuff must be outstanding, because so far I haven't found a protein powder that I'm goo goo gaga over that I love the taste. In fact, after I have protein powder for a couple of weeks, I'm pretty sick of the flavor of it. I mean, really, like, there's just some, whatever they do to flavor the protein powders that I've used, it's just something that after a while just doesn't agree with my stomach. I start to resent the stuff. It's just kind of like I can taste that artificial flavoring stuff. So it sounds like this Prana stuff's kind of the bomb, huh?
Yeah, it's actually the best one I've ever tasted.
Oh, we got to get that stuff over here in the United States.
Yeah,
or
I'm pretty
otherwise,
sure he's
I'm
going
to have to take
it.
A trip to Australia and bring back a giant container of that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's really good stuff. So, and like Yolanda would have done, I do like to add other stuff into it. If I'm not really close to a comp, I might put some berries or some chia seeds in it. I've never tried it with peanut butter, but I'll definitely give that a shot. But yeah, if I'm really close to a comp and my macros are really on point, then I might just leave it at the protein and the water.
All right, great. Do you happen to take a multivitamin by chance?
I only take multivitamins while I'm in comp prep. I just sort of feel like, just to cover my bases in case there's something I missed, because when I'm not doing a comp prep, I am eating such a broad variety of foods and fresh vegetables and fruits and things that I worry if I'm cutting my vegetable choices or my fruit choices down a little bit in a comp prep, I kind of worry a little bit if I'm getting enough. So just to cover my bases, I do take one during comp prep, but I found that I don't really need to take anything other than during that time. I've had I get regular blood tests just to check my iron levels and things, which I've had iron issues in the past. And funnily enough, when I went vegan, everything kind of fell into place and my iron levels shot right up, and I'm not deficient in anything except vitamin D3, which a third of the population is anyway. I just feel like I don't really need to take one other than just to cover my bases during that time.
It's fascinating. How often do you get your blood tests?
Probably every 6 months or so.
Twice a year. And how do you get your B vitamins covered?
I like to do that in two different ways. I love nutritional yeast. And I sort of, I've found that that's generally enough for me to keep my levels up. But if I'm not having, I don't sort of like the idea of having that all the time. And I don't know why. I think I've read positive things and I've read negative things about nutritional yeast. So I do love it, so I eat it, but I won't have it all the time. I might go through phases where I have it a fair bit and then not. If I'm not having it, I just take a vegan B12 pill.
All right. And do you take I noticed that in this list of everything that you eat, that you don't eat a lot of fruit. Is that true, or are we just
missed
that?
Yeah, I don't eat a massive amount of fruit, and that's actually to do with the fact that I have fructose malabsorption, which is a condition where your body just doesn't digest fructose very well. So I do love fruit, and I'll have it, but I do limit it because of that condition. I used to think that for comp prep, fruit was bad and it was full of sugar and all this sort of stuff, but I've seen a lot of people who are doing really well on a high fruit diet, and I don't know whether or not if that's still the case. Like, I'm not really sure myself how that stands, but for me personally, I do love my fruit, but I do limit it because it's hard for me to digest.
It's hard for you to digest. So there's a good chance if you try to do Freely the Banana Girl's 30 banana a day program, you might die.
I wouldn't die, but I'd probably get pretty sick.
And really bad gas.
Yeah. The people right around me might die.
Yeah, all right. So warn your family members and your closest friends before you try something like that. Then everybody else will be good. Well, great. Well, is there anything else that we've missed in your eating strategy? Oh, how much water are you drinking every day?
I don't know, but it's lots.
It's lots. Okay, cool.
I have like a standard shaker bottle, which I have next to me, and I probably fill that up every hour or two at work. So I'm not sure how many I'll go through a day, but I just make sure I'm constantly drinking. But one thing I've noticed with digestion, because I have had a few digestive issues in the past, whether or not that's to do with not eating for 2 years, which is probably likely, I do struggle with digestion a little bit sometimes, especially eating a broad range of fruits and vegetables. But I've found if I don't drink for half an hour before a meal, I digest a lot better. So I do stop drinking then, but every other time of the day I have a drink in my hand. So I just try and get in as much fluid as possible. And it just becomes second nature, I think, once you start doing it. And, you know, just it's so much better for your body and flushing out your system if you're keeping hydrated.
Cool. Is there anything else besides... Oh, I want to ask you this. Approximately how much protein are you getting a day?
To be honest, I haven't counted it for a while. And probably during comp prep, I was getting about, I think, 180 grams a day, 180 to 200 during my comp prep. But at the moment, because I've been looking at sort of different ways of eating and trying things out and... trying to up my carbs a bit, and that had a lot to do with traveling around as well. Like, not that I've traveled very far, but I'd been interstate a couple of times on the last month, and sort of found that, like, not knowing where I was or what shops were open, and I found it a bit easier to find higher carb foods than really trying to focus on.
How are you getting 200 grams of protein a day?
On
are
my
you doing like two scoops of protein powder every time and like an entire block of tofu per meal?
Probably having about 4 protein shakes during my comp prep and yeah, a lot of tofu and tempeh, which, to be honest, like, it worked for me at the time, but I sort of feel like at the moment I want to try see how I go with my carbs a lot higher and my protein lower. And, like, I just watched your transformation video the other day, and when I'm like, wow, he only had 90 grams of protein per day.
I know half of what you're eating.
I know, and that made me sort of think, shit, maybe I'm, you know, overdoing the protein thing, and, you know, I feel like my performance could be a lot better. I've started CrossFit and I kind of actually really suck at it, and I feel like I shouldn't suck that much at something. So I'm re-looking at my diet and thinking, you know, I'm not giving myself enough carbohydrates to perform well in this, and I'm focusing so much on, you know, getting all this protein to build muscle, but, you know, I'm starting to realize, like, maybe I don't need that much protein. If this guy can build all this muscle on, like, half the protein that I'm eating, you know, I'm probably overdoing it. So I'm looking at changing things up.
That was my third successful attempt at building muscle. The two times previous to that, I was doing over 200 grams of protein a day. I remember 225 to 275 a day, and I remember that was so hard for me. So when you're telling me, I'm looking at you, you're like half the size of me, and you're eating the same amount of protein that I used to. I'm like, how is this little girl? How is she able to physically stomach that much protein? That was one of the biggest challenges for me was putting all that down. I just remember drinking those horrible protein shakes, which they tasted good the first week, and then I couldn't stand them after that. And then the tofu, oh my God. You know, I used to love eating tofu, but I would eat an entire block at a time. So I'm putting down about 45 grams of protein every time I have to eat it. And then after the second week, it would take me a half hour to eat one block of tofu because I just hated every bite of it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that you're able to pull that off.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'm really impressed.
But yeah, I guess I kind of, looking at like my high carb days and how much better I felt focusing on carbohydrates rather than protein, or, you know, getting more fuel from carbohydrates than protein and fats and things, I just sort of, my digestion feels so much better for keeping my protein down a bit. Like, obviously it's still important to build muscle, but I think maybe I was kind of going with the flow a bit in terms of all these people around me who are smashing in protein and feeling like I have to follow suit. But now that I know, like, I don't have a comp coming up and I can play around with these things, and that'll only give me the confidence in the future to try new things and maybe not feel like I have to eat so much tofu.
You got an amazing attitude about it. I know so many people that wouldn't. I know so many I know so many fitness competitors that would never think of going off of the program that was created for them right from the very beginning. They wouldn't even dare try going off it for fear that they're going to lose everything that they've worked so hard to accomplish in terms of their body.
Yeah.
I'm all about experimentation because I also know how quickly I can create muscle, and I also know how quickly I can lose body fat. It's not a big deal. Even if you fall flat on your face on a program after a couple of weeks, then you know it didn't work, and you can either go back to what did work or try something different. But here's the cool thing, and this is why I think it's perfect time for us to bring this up right now to everybody listening is you can always go back to what works. Whatever worked in the past will always work for you. When it comes to biology, that's just the way it is. It'll always work for you. So you don't have to have – I mean, if you don't have a competition coming up in 10 weeks, you can have the freedom to try different things. In fact, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend trying different things. This is not to you, Simone, because you're already doing it. But this is to those of you who are listening right now. Try different things. If you've got the time and you've got the energy and the will to do it, by all means, do it. You might stumble upon something. I mean, listen to everybody who I've ever interviewed on this show and try the different routines that sound appealing to you. I remember the first time I interviewed Chad Byers, which was fascinating because his interview, you'll understand what he eats. He's able to maintain one of the biggest muscular, most lean-ripped vegan physiques out there on three meals a day. And that made me so happy because I hate having to eat every 2 to 3 hours. It's a pain in the butt when I'm a busy man, I'm a family man, I've got all these obligations. I don't want to have to be bringing my food with me everywhere I go or having to get home to prepare a meal. And what I loved about him, which was completely opposite to what you've been doing, Simone, is he would do all of his fruit at nighttime. And this was on both fat loss days and muscle building days. It didn't matter. Both of those. So every night, he would just binge on fruit, and he would have no limit to how much fruit he would eat. And that made me so happy because I am a fruitaholic. I love fruit more than any other type of food out there. And so that became my routine, too. I'm like, well, if Chad can do it, then I'll do it, too. And the results were phenomenal. It worked. And it goes against everything I've ever been taught up to then. And I don't care if it does. I don't care. Now that I've got a new experience and I achieved success with it, shoot, I've got no problem eating fruit at night. So I'm gonna recommend those of you listening, if you've discovered a method that you can lose body fat and you can build muscle, always know that you can rely on that to get any fat off of your body that you gain from experimenting, and also know that you can gain your muscle back if you happen to lose it. So use that prior experience and some belief in yourself to know that you'll always be able to get your body back when you want to, and use that as some freedom to go ahead and experiment. So we're going to call it there, Simone. This is awesome. Thank you so much for being so generous to offer the Vegan Body Revolution show and all of our listeners your meal-by-meal plan. If it's all right with you, I'd like to, in the next episode, go over what your workout is like, because that's the final component to all this. How do you train to be able to get that knockout body of yours? Would that be cool?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks.
Awesome. And Simone, how do our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I'm always happy to add friends. I don't keep that personal, so I'll add anyone and I'll talk to anyone there. Also, my email is simi_collins@hotmail.com. That's SIMI_COLLINS. I have a website as well, a blog, which I don't update that often, but I still have it up there, and I've put some workouts and stuff on there from time to time. So that's simicollins.com. And I'm on Instagram as well, which is simi_collins. So any of those avenues you can contact me through, I'm always happy to have a chat.
Very cool. Thank you for that. And Simone, you probably want to get your fan page started, because I have a feeling you're going to run out of friends pretty soon.
Yeah.
Not run out of friends, but run out of spaces for friends on your Facebook page. That just happened to me recently. I got to 5,000 and now I can't. Sorry, can't be my friend. You need to go to my fan page. So I have a few announcements to make. If you haven't already, make sure that you download your very own copy of the Vegan Muscle Building Guide. Go to veganmusclebook.com, and it's 100% for free. You'll learn exactly how I built 10 pounds, and got stronger than ever in just 28 days on a 100% vegan diet. Also, we're giving away two tickets free, to the Metabolic Mastery Intensive, the one-day intensive seminar that's going to happen here in February in Austin, Texas. These tickets are valued at over $390, just under $400 to be exact. And we're going to be giving one away to you and a guest if you are drawn. In fact, there's two ways to win. You can, if you look right now, if you go to your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, or if you go to your local Whole Foods Market or Sprouts or any natural grocery store or Safeway, and you pick up the current version, the November-December issue of Vegan Health and Fitness magazine, you will see me and my family on the front cover. And if you take that magazine and you take a picture of it with you in it, you and the magazine, you tag Vegan Body Revolution on Facebook, you will be entered into the drawing. At the end of December, we're gonna do a drawing to win for you to win those tickets. We're also doing a second little thing, because the other day I said something about taking a lot of pictures and having the best pose. I'm also going to do a contest for anybody who wants to hold the magazine up and give the best pose you possibly can. I am going to have a best pose contest as well, which I'll also be giving two free tickets to that person as well. Details can be found at veganbodyrevolution.com. And that's where you'll also find links to our Facebook page, where I'm putting up recipes and content every single day. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in, folks. Again, this is Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, and I will catch you on the next podcast.